From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Of course, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. And we're going to be talking in a few moments, probably 15 minutes, to Robin Philpott, publisher of Baraka Books. He is located in Montreal, Quebec. And we're going to ask about Quebec reactions to Trumpness. And later in the show, we'll also speak to Tony Leah of Unifor, militant and author of a great book, The Truth About the 37 Oshawa, the GM Strike in Oshawa in 1937. But this topic will be how labor is responding, I'm going to say tailing our capitalist class, who are at the moment trying to get their S together, as they say. And but there seem to be kind of standing in obedient positions, background, providing interesting background, while the main parties who pretty much serve the interest of big business and banking, et cetera. They have the microphones, and the labor leaders say, thank you, I'm so glad to be here. We're going to be talking about why that is. This, as I said, is the Taylor Report. I want to make sure I say something a little off course in terms of all this stuff about Canada and confrontation with Trump. I want to make sure we mention a story in Africa that we've been following for many, many years. So listeners, Taylor Report will be familiar with the players. There has been a displacement of thousands and thousands of people in the city from the city of Goma. It has been captured by a group called the M23. The M23 is really just a surrogate force for the government of Rwanda. That is, seems to be widely accepted, understood. The issue would be why all these years this has been going on. M23 has been in business a long time. When I was working in Africa out of Arusha, Tanzania, I came to know a number of journalists who were rather candid in their private conversations. They weren't so candid when they were doing the news. But I recall the first time that I heard of this this armed group. They didn't call themselves M23 at the time. They had a different name. But they were Rwandan-sponsored, trained, and armed. Oh, yes, and you want to know where Rwanda gets its arms? Well, the Estados Unidos and Israel provide most of the weapons. The area that they're fighting over is, of course, Eastern Congo. It is Congolese territory and sovereign, but treated as a doormat by the Rwandan-sponsored forces. And in fact, the Rwandan army itself, according to reports, and that includes the Globe and Mail. The Globe, by the way, has had fairly, I would say, accurate and steady in reporting in that region, probably because it's mineral rich and Canadian business is quite interested in what's going to happen to the coltan and the uranium and the diamonds and all the various things of East Congo. At the moment, it is under the hegemony of the small country of Rwanda, and minerals have been flowing out of there into the coffers of Western mining and others, and so it's a it's not simply some kind of local conflict. It has to do with the bigger picture of who is going to control the minerals. Now, Canadians at this point will completely understand, since it turns out, according to our prime minister, that Donald Trump would like to have this country because it's full of nice things that he could enrich, Americans could enrich themselves on. And so there's a little, we have a cousin in Central Africa, the Great Lakes region, where there's violence perpetrated largely by a U.S.-sponsored government in Kigali. And we need to take note, United Nations forces were there, are there, but they have now being transited out. So this is a situation where they're withdrawn because of this major offensive by the group called M23. Going back to what I was told by the journalists of the old days, they said, I recall distinctly talking to a guy from the London Times, and he said to me, well, I have just come back from the front, and I can tell you that those soldiers are better armed, better equipped, better trained, they have better uniforms, and they're called the rebels. They have more of everything than the Congolese forces. And so you need to understand that. This is not some type of local rebellion. This is a very serious military operation from which Western powers will benefit. Although they're coming up against the problem of a population that rejects them. So it's rather like talking again about Canada. Trump says he's going to do all these things. The locals don't seem to be very enthusiastic, but not that he cares. So that's that. Please pay attention to that story. Just look up Goma, and you'll see the problem. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. So everybody had to watch the Super Bowl so that we could see Donald Trump say that he's going to put 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum just for the fun of it. He took advantage, of course, of the moment. And of course, he again said that Canada could be a happy member of his country. People are outraged. There's people saying, well, this is, he's aggressive, he lies, can't be trusted. And I think if you were to talk to Mexico or all of our neighbors in the Western Hemisphere, or if you talk to Haitians, if you talk to Iraqis, if you talk Syrians, South Africa, they would all say to Canada, you're just now noticing this, are you? This just came into your attention, because all these years, people have been quite comfortable in Canada. I shouldn't say the people, well, maybe, but certainly the leadership has been happy to be the deputy sheriff and happy to drop bombs on Libya, quite delighted to help with in Afghanistan, and with, as I think the prime minister pointed out, loss of life, mainly, by the way, on the part of the Afghan people. But, you know, if our blood is sacred, everybody else doesn't count. But the fact is, this has been an ongoing operation. You know, when you get into a tight strait and you find yourself, somebody has you by the back of the neck and throws you into a room with a bunch of other people, they all say, oh, look who's here. And it's a really important moment to decide whether we're going to continue with what I call vassal thought. On the Friday Globe and Mail, they reported our Defense Minister Blair said that he thought that it would be a good idea. He had heard that Donald Trump has announced that he's going to have a new superdome, iron zone to dome to protect America from missiles and et cetera. By the way, don't bet on that one. So this is being done. And Blair said, oh, that's a good idea. We should be included. So I'm talking about vassal thought. Vassals can't get us through their heads. You know, it's like maybe some of the cattle looking and saying, that seems to be a slaughterhouse over there. Trump has problems and ideas and ambitions about weapons and all this. His policies are not Canadian policies. They're U.S. policies. And so when Blair says, well, we want, no, if you're going to put in a big dome, you got to put us under the dome. Why? Hasn't it ever occurred to anybody that we didn't pick any of these fights? The fights have all been picked by our great master, the Don of Mar-a-Lago. And before him, by the way, all the others, when we signed on to help out bombing Libya, that was Obama, a wonderful liberal. So, but here's Blair asking to be aboard when the guy says he's going to take over your country, and you're saying, please, let me be part of the dome. He's going to say, oh, absolutely, Blair. Would you like a job? We're going to be taking your country over. Of course. And by the way, we might do it anyway, because we really want to make sure we protect that for ourselves. And so it's time to go take a step back and get out of this zone of thinking like a vassal and looking around. And I'll break it to you. Neither Russia nor China, who are the major headaches for the U.S. administration because they're big enough to stand up for themselves, they don't have any declared ambitions or interests in Canada. And it's such a joke, by the way, now that I've said Blair and I've said this thing about what their ambitions are. Here you have the President of the United States saying, I'll annex them. And they say, well, would you use force? And he said, well, economic force, yes. I can get my way that way. And this, if you're going to take it, there are little elements called meddling. And we had a commission that looked into foreign meddling. And I hate to tell them, but they were looking in the wrong place, because we're having foreign meddling standing on our chest and looking us in the eyes. But they see us in company, all have their binoculars and their telescopes, seeing if they can spot some meddling by China. In the case of Doug Ford, he said the other day, we have to tell Trump to get busy and we should join together in a real trade war with China. What a lame brain. He's looking at you, Doug, and your family, by the way, is completely enthusiastic about his election. So you probably ought to give your whole body a shake, including your head, and probably step into the alley or something, and you're not really speaking to the point. Here we have heavy, 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 in-your-face meddling. And Chrystia Freeland has a little electoral boost because they say, oh, China might have been trying to bother her campaign. What malarkey. There's no evidence. If you ask them, what's the evidence? They say, well, CSIS told us. So in other words, the electorate, the Democratic Transparent Society of Canada, takes its lead on political interference in our country from the secret police. So we don't actually have any evidence of the interference. The only interference we have is from CSIS and from all the other elements of our so-called intelligence system. And So, yes, we're being meddled with. We're being meddled with by an intelligence agency that doesn't produce evidence, because if you ask them for the evidence, all intelligence agencies, all police always say the same thing. Oh, I can't tell you how I know that, because that would give away my sources. My guess is every source is a cluck, that they don't have anything. And that was allegedly one of the things that this commission that looked into meddling said, is that intelligence is a kind of a vague business, and you can't. It's very hard to say anything with certitude. And therefore, that's why generally they don't mix in politics. But now they're mixing very heavily in politics. So we have a campaign of meddling by an intelligence agency who somehow or another, reporters just become like hypnotized, you know, like snakes in a show with a guy playing a flute to them. And they say, oh, the intelligence guy told me something. And you say, what did he tell you? Oh, he says, they're really bad. There's something going on here. And I asked him, are you sure? And he said, we have our sources. Fantastic. It's too bad we don't have journalists. That would help. Somebody who actually asked two questions, not one.